Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As you probably know, we have come to the last two verses of Peter's second epistle, and we are examining the next to the last verse, chapter 3, verse 17, carefully, word by word, and then in its turn we'll come to verse 18, the final verse, and do the same thing. We find that the last two verses contain two exhortations, two instructions by the Apostle Peter to his Christian readers, which of course includes us today. The first one is a warning. The second one is an encouragement. The first one we could say is negative. The second one we could characterize as positive. But both of them are equally helpful, equally needed, and both are gladly received by the true people of God. This idea that we need to remove the negatives from our Christian message, if we're going to be able to attract people, is actually a very dangerous and destructive idea. Those in whom the Holy Spirit of God is working will receive the warnings and the thou shalt nots as gladly as the encouragements and the thou shalts. There really is no negatives. It's only a linguistic classification, but there really are no negatives for the true child of God. He accepts all of God's Word, all of the Bible, as God's Word. He recognizes that there are thou shalt nots as equally as there are thou shalts, and he recognizes that they're all there for a purpose, and they have all been given to us by a wise and gracious and loving God, and that they all have a good purpose, and that we need it all. And anyone who doesn't respond to it that way, anybody who is willing to accept the positive statements, but who rejects, who rises up against, who bristles at the negative statements, is actually revealing more about himself than he realizes. He is showing himself to be an enemy of God, alienated from God, one in whom the Spirit of God does not dwell, and one who is not taught by the Spirit of God. And that's all the more reason to bear down upon these things, for God uses His Word to break the hard hearts, like a hammer to shatter the stone and to bring hard-hearted people into sweet and glad surrender to himself. So that's where we're going on this Wednesday, July 22. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for remembering that the Beacon Broadcast continues by the financial support of radio listeners just like you. Well, who is Peter addressing in verse 17? You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, he's addressing the people of God, identified as distinct from those who twist the scripture described in the previous verse. He is addressing them as beloved, those who are beloved to Peter, those who are beloved to God, those who are beloved to all of God's children, and who belong to the family of God. They are people who are different. And to them, Peter deliberately issues repeated instruction, repeated information, information that they have received before. And Peter does this a lot. In fact, all of the Bible writers do this to a significant degree. But perhaps Peter, more than anybody else, does it and says he's doing it and says it's good that he's doing it. We need repetition. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, I'm not telling you anything new, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, you know this beforehand, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. If you don't receive reminders of truth previously learned, you are in danger of deception and being led away. We need repetition, purposeful repetition. There are two kinds of repetition. There's the kind of repetition that is the product of lack of preparation. That's not helpful. Then there's the kind of repetition that is purposeful, deliberate, intentional, and that is valuable. Unfortunately, there are some pastors who are very repetitive because they don't take the time to prepare anything new. They pretty much speak off the cuff. They have this mistaken idea that God-honoring preaching is extemporaneous without any or very little preparation, that they just open their mouth and the Holy Spirit fills it, and not so strangely either, what they have to say sounds like the same old, same old. Here we go again. We're hearing exactly what we've heard before. There's nothing here to feed the souls of hungry men. It's just somebody throwing a little more water in the soup, and it keeps getting watered down more and more and more and more. That is the wrong kind of repetition. The right kind of repetition is the kind that is carefully considered, thoughtfully prepared, delivered in a way that is not the same old delivery. In other words, it's the same truth, but it comes with a fresh delivery, a freshness about it that indicates this has been carefully considered, carefully constructed. It is being thoughtfully presented, and in many cases doesn't even sound like the same thing. It's coming to us differently. It sounds fresh. And indeed it is. It is freshly prepared, but if you look at it carefully, you realize there's not really anything new here. This is the same solid truth that we have had all along. It doesn't take you long to preach through books of the Bible to realize that there is an awful lot of repetition in the Bible, and yet, when you teach the same truth from a different passage of Scripture, you find that there is a freshness about it. There's a new perspective, a new angle. It's like taking a valuable jewel, a diamond, and you hold it up to the light, and you see it from one angle, and you see a certain beauty there, and you twist it just a little bit, and the light shines on it from a different angle, and you see things you didn't see before, and you keep twisting it, and that's exactly what happens. You're looking at the same diamond, but you keep seeing new facets, new angles, new beauty, new areas of appreciation that you did not see before. And that's the way it is with the Bible. The same truths, but presented from different perspectives, out of different contexts, out of different backgrounds, out of different situations, being taught to people who are in different circumstances, and coming to us from different human instruments that the Holy Spirit is using to deliver His Word, and it comes to us with a great freshness. I have noticed that many times when we have a Bible conference, God will lay upon the heart of our speaker, and actually in our case we've already discussed this with the speaker ahead of time, and we know what he's going to preach. We discuss different possibilities back and forth until we arrive on something that's mutually appreciated, mutually endorsed by both speaker and the pastors of the church that he's coming to speak to, namely ours. So we know what he's going to preach, and we often have learned over the years, often deliberately ask him to preach on something that we had preached on recently. Why would we do that? Why don't we want something new and fresh? Well, in fact, it is new and fresh. A good example is our most recent Spring Bible Conference. We generally have a Spring Bible Conference and a Fall Bible Conference, and we bring in preachers to these conferences that have been blessed of God, often have been blessed to our own congregation previously, and we believe that God will use them again as instruments in His hands. And what we generally do is ask the preacher, the speaker, to offer to us several possible series. He's going to preach five or six times. This is the Bible conference. We want a unified series. We generally are looking for exposition of a portion of God's Word. And so we'll ask him to offer several possibilities, and he will offer us things that he believes he can freshly deliver, the things that he has no doubt preached to his own congregation, though occasionally we'll have men who say, no, I've never preached this before, but this is what I'd like to do. They want to prepare something that's completely fresh, and if they have the time and the inclination to do that, we're delighted for that. That's not a problem, but generally they'll present us something that is something that they have used before, and they are therefore going to revive it, but they're going to be preaching it to our congregation instead of to theirs, and they're also going to have to reformat it for our situation. And a good example of that is our Spring Bible Conference, in which our speaker preached to us on the book of Job, and actually covered the whole book, 40 chapters in 5 messages, which required a lot of condensation and summarization, and he did it beautifully. And I asked him, how many sermons did you preach in this series when you preached it at your church? And I'm not sure I remember the exact number now, but I'm thinking he said something like 16 or 18 messages, but to us, 5. So he had to do a lot of condensing, and that makes it certain that what he preached to us certainly wasn't exactly the same as what he preached to his own congregation. It couldn't have been. But the interesting thing about it is, we asked him to preach on the book of Job. We have had the book of Job taught in our church fairly recently. One of our Sunday school classes, one of our largest adult Sunday school classes, have gone through the book of Job. The book of Job is something that we have focused on and concentrated on. Why then did we ask this speaker to speak on Job? Because we knew that he was a very capable teacher and preacher of God's Word, and we knew that actually the background that people had for the book of Job, their familiarity with it, would make the conference all the more valuable, not less. And indeed, that was exactly the case. Most of our people said it was the best Bible conference we ever had. It was rich. It was insightful. It was not repetitive, and yet it was. It was the same God-given truth presented to us in a wonderful and fresh way. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.